tell you what I'm going to do. I was not going to let Stephen Colbert show me up singing. But let me give you the Pokemon poem first. Because it sums up, folks, what I want you to keep in mind. It says, life can be a challenge. Life can seem impossible.
Oh, Godfather!
It's never easy when there's so much on the line. But you can make a difference. There's a mission just for you. Just look inside and you will find just what you can do. Begins with believing that you hold the key to all of your achieving. It says, believe in what you can do. And since Stephen Colbert tried to show off his vocal ability,
Michael Roparez.
What do you mean, what the fuck happened?
Why are we in my house?
We are in your house because this is Tuck Radar 196, and we're recording a weird after-hours thing. We were just at a the Games Radar, Talk Radar reader meetup in
San
Francisco.
Sorry about the short
notice. Yeah, it was a little weird, but a bunch of people did show up, and we will have that segment later in the program.
There's a Final Fantasy trivia contest.
There is.
Final...
And a costume
A woman
contest.
Cried on Mike.
She did.
What the
hell?
It was
kind of amazing.
Oh, and because you can't see her, she was gorgeous.
She was.
Dressed as Tifa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right?
And FF7 Tifa, too. Yeah. The one who wears less.
I was a little disappointed. We only had three honest-to-God cosplayers show up. One was an absolutely phenomenal Cloud. I think it was a woman.
It was a woman.
Yes.
Yeah. And,
which made it even sexier. Right
there was,
well, no. And then there was the male...
Zidane from
FF9.
Zidane
is a guy.
That guy.
No way.
I felt bad that guy lost the contest because he clearly put a lot of work
in. He was killed on the first easiest trivia question of Final Fantasy, though.
Yeah.
He was knocked out. You will hear all of this later.
That's true.
I'm Chris Antista. We have
Henry Gilbert,
Michael Raparez,
Diana Goodman.
What?
Yes.
Diana Goodman,
yeah.
The triumphant return.
Yep.
Oh, and I want to say, I didn't say it on the. When we recorded it, but thank you very much to 510 Brother Panda for the amazing Kekutar
Is it Kakutar or is it Cactar?
Cactar, whatever.
Or Cactuar.
I like it all.
Yeah.
I like it all.
But anyway, it's an amazing one. We're recording from your dining room, the Laser Time Audio
there
Bunker.
You go. That's all I wanted to hear.
Yep.
The Laser Time Studios.
Laser Time Podcast
Studios.
This is
a totally rogue podcast right here.
Batman the Podcast Studios?
Yeah, lasertimepodcast.com.
Tuck Radar has gone off the grid.
Yes, exactly.
Into the laser time.
It couldn't be any more in the grid. Have you seen the map of where I live?
Yeah, well, that's San Francisco. It's a grid. San Francisco is actually two grids that are sort of run diagonally to each other and are sort of smashed together in the middle.
Yeah. It's so kind of like the Rocky Mountains that way. Mm.
Yeah. It does look like some two continents converge on one another with that stupid Market Street. That's too inside. You guys, Google Maps.
It's really inside.
You'll find that joke hilarious.
Speaking of your neighborhood, remember when we were about to record a talk radar and then we're like, hey, there's a fire on your street, Chris. It's a
fire. Like, I remember Veronica Belmont tweeted that and like... If anybody lives over here in Soma, like, you should probably not... You should look and see if your house is on fire. I'm like, that's my neighbor. That's my... My street is, like, is a quarter of a block long.
You panicked. And,
and I'm trying to remember what Verona said in response. Like, oh, that sucks. Like, no, seriously. Get closer, see if my house is on fire.
That's too bad. All your shit's gone.
And then we called... Nagato wasn't at the office that day, and he was at your... He lived in the same apartment as you.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And we called him, and he was a little sleepy, let's say, and and didn't... And couldn't... he was just like, what?
The time was 4:20.
It was like, what? Fire?
Fire? What? Bro, this shit's so heavy.
I was kind of surprised during the meetup. We had a couple people come up and ask, like, so do you guys really get that drunk, or are you just talking it up? And it's like, I can say right here where we're recording in your kitchen, yes.
Yes.
Yes, there's real booze here.
I was sort of frightened because I've never had... We put the sound out through PA, so like the whole...
We could not hear it.
Yeah, okay.
Nobody, but you guys could hear it.
I didn't want to do that.
If you got five feet away, we could not hear it.
Because at that point, like, I'm a little sick. I'm like, give me a hot toddy, some whiskey, and some tea. And I had like three of those before we broadcasted when I switched to beer.
Nice.
And continued drinking. And now this is probably the drunkest I'll be in the beginning of a talk right there.
In this studio, there are literally two empty whiskey bottles.
Really?
In eyesight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
One's a very big bottle.
It's plastic also, which, you know, that's the best kind of whiskey.
Well,
what is that, Seagram's?
It's Sub Seagram's. It's Canadian Club.
Oh, man, that stuff had a very big role during Prohibition.
Sounds like a terrific... What? Okay, relay that, Ricky Perez. What?
Canadian Club. It's if you watch Boardwalk Empire, it comes up.
I just got the first season on Blu-ray because it was reasonably priced. But I thought the show was really boring.
I did not. I have to
really
disagree. Yes.
Yep.
Was just the first two episodes? Is what I'm talking about.
The first episode where the guy's head gets exploded by a shotgun.
Well, I mean, the rest of it though is just like typical, predictable gangster stuff, and especially because you sort of know where Prohibition is going and what it's leading to. I do love that,
but it's taking its time. It's not like, and now we're all gonna have Tommy guns.
I'm just saying, we didn't have HBO in the house, so like Sopranos, Six Feet Under would move me out of the house to watch shows at houses with friends, and Boardwalk Empire did not do that, despite being developed by Martin Scorsese and starring Steve Buscemi.
And also, Michael Shannon is great.
Yeah.
Your boss, Gary Steinman, like he's like he tweeted something like Boardwalk Empire is the most fascinating way I've ever been bored, and like I agree with that 100%. Like everything looks great, the performances are great, but I was totally bored. But I bought it again, and I will watch it again.
All right,
games.
So top seven this week.
Top seven reasons you should buy Final Fantasy 13-2.
Related. Yeah, we we indulge the theme of the event.
Ah, I see.
I don't think of it as selling out when you're at a Final Fantasy themed event.
I don't either. I don't work with you guys.
That's how I sleep at night.
Yep. Me too. Well, that and I'm not getting any money, so it can't technically be selling out. Yep.
That's right.
So top seven this week, very game related. It's the top seven biggest bulges.
Shit, I haven't seen this yet.
I'm a little disappointed that the original headline "biggest crotch bulges" did not make it in. But
does that
I guess
mean
this
things
is suggestive
that weren't
enough.
Crotch bulges.
No, this means things that are crotch bulges.
They are the bulges on a man.
See, we didn't get any moose knuckle up in here.
All moose knuckle.
Moose knuckle, Alaska.
I thought that was Vaj. Camel toe.
What? No, camel toe.
Camel toe.
Moose knuckle is the male variety.
Yeah, so this is like top seven moose knuckles.
What if you like asymmetrical camel toes? And that'd be a moose knuckle, right?
Well, because it's not camel toes. It's dudes, man. It's about dicks. It's about the fine art of looking at and appreciating video game dicks.
I'm already sold.
Well, it's really dicks and balls.
That's true. That's true. It's one all-encompassing bulge.
Yeah. You think your balls are bigger than your dick? This is important.
No, but I mean, I just like the visual of like... like the visual of a dick sitting on balls. Like, yeah. it's a nice package. Well, you gotta see the whole thing.
Package. There's not much dick going on. I mean, there's so many of the bulges are just weird, bulgy things. Mm-hmm. There's not like, well, you can't really differentiate.
If you define
also,
it.
Also, my balls are way bigger than my dick.
Are they?
I could tell just by looking at you.
It's true.
Well, I'll quote Lita Ford on this. And my balls are so big, I have to wear them in my chest.
Whoa!
Ooh, damn.
My dick's only 2 inches from the ground.
That's good.
Oh my god!
But I think
if you
define the genitals too much in a bulge, then you wouldn't get you'd get an AO rating.
Is the bulge sexy to females?
I've never been a fan of, especially not the undifferentiated bulge. Uh-huh. Some of the bulges we're talking about here, it's just sort of like there's a big scary lump.
You heard it here, folks. I don't have a big scary lump.
You should check yourself every month in the shower. I'm not bragging about my straightness, but when you see a woman in a bikini, like the lack of any bulge is like really sexy.
Okay.
No?
But don't you want to see the bulge and be like, oh, he's packing heat? That's
nice. Yeah. Well, that just generally means that they're wearing a lined bikini that doesn't adhere
to
the...
Well, don't tell you. Yeah, but I mean...
I can fetishize whatever I want.
Can we move on with this fucking list?
Oh, you're right. let's get into the real journalism of the piece.
Yes.
Wonder bras are fake too, but I mean, you can.
So
you
we
trick yourself.
Have we sold the concept enough?
I think so.
Is this still recording, Diana?
Yeah.
Everything rules.
Yes. All right. So number 7. You're gonna have to pronounce this for me, Henry. It's Bartik, Bartik,
let's say Bartik. Bartik. And that is the evolved form of the new bear Pokemon from Black and White.
Dude doesn't have a bulge so much as he has like a bed of spikes.
Yeah, it looks like a shard of glass embedded in his
dick. It's like the most terrifying codpiece ever that's just sort of part of his fur.
I thought it was just fur. I thought it was supposed to be fuzzy.
But it is fur.
It's on his crotch.
But these things are very carefully designed, so you know, like somebody is implying something mm-hmm. by drawing that shape there. It really is. It is jarring.
It's like, look at all these dicks.
Look at
like, no! Sharpen those into spikes! We caught this too late to erase them. Have to do it on all the sprites. Oh my god, just leave it.
And then we'll have to recreate it in every subsequent remake.
And also the icicles around his mouth, that's saliva. Like he's like angry saliva.
That's
because
angry saliva. So it's not just like a big beard.
He's like
really disgusting.
And did it freeze? Is that why they're icicles?
I wanna say they also look kinda like dicks. they sort of have like a little barb that suggests a sort of very angular head.
You know, it's because he evolves from this cute little polar bear cub. And,
of course
it
does.
And it has a frozen icicle booger on his nose. So
does he use it to stab his enemies?
He's a pretty useless dude.
Is that a stab attack?
Bear-tick is pretty cool, though.
All right.
All right. Wait, where are we? Number 6?
Number six
is Sagat from Street Fighter.
Mm. Who, Bob Saget?
I believe Tyler, who wrote this piece, along with PC Gamer staff.
Does that mean you?
No, I didn't write any of this. Yeah. Why did it say that? It's probably Lucas.
I don't know. It's either Lucas or it's some weird mistake. But anyway.
But we can't say it. Well, it definitely wasn't Lucas.
Why? I don't get
accounting might listen.
I don't get billed for everything. I don't get billed for everything else I write for you guys. Why would they put PC Gamer staff in there?
Well, yeah. Okay. Anyways.
Sorry. I could do ghostwrite for you guys.
We love you for it.
Mostly talks about Sagat's ability to wear his scars with pride, and his ability to persevere can undoubtedly be attributed to the fighter's manly virility, the evidence of which can clearly be seen lurking beneath the billowy folds of Sagat's roomy trunks. In the screenshot he has here, it's
from 4, and his bulge is massive. Yeah, like, I was questioning it.
Quite impressive. And then he has a... oh my!
Yeah,
the bulge on the cover of Street Fighter II Turbo and this statue here are like very pronounced.
The statue looks like his dick just ate a lemon. Look at that! It's puckering and shrinking around his dick.
That's right.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, well, he's such a powerful giant man that he, you know, it would look silly if he had, like, no crotch. Like, you know,
he
I
just
saw,
had, like, a Barbie doll, just kind of smooth.
Well, that reminds me of something I saw recently, how they have to, like, downplay crotches in, like, superhero films. Like, how, like, they showed, like, a picture from the set of Superman's bulge in Superman Returns, and then now they had to, like, shoot around it in the actual film.
No, we can't make it look like our superhero has a penis.
If you see too much of it, then you'll giggle and you're like, he is wearing
wasn't
underwear.
Wasn't that the case of like some Rolling Stone cover where Al Gore's bulge had to be like photoshopped, reduced by a Photoshop?
It is pretty massive.
It's really massive.
Yeah, like, dude's a prime candidate for penis reduction.
Yes, he cares so much about global warming because his dick casts a giant shadow.
It does.
Constantly leaving his wife cold.
Right.
Oh, did I cross some line? No, my bad. No. Didn't mean to go up to sacred cows Al Gore and his giant dick. He's probably thoroughly offended.
I was saying I couldn't follow.
Well, he's sensitive about having a giant dick. He doesn't like people pointing it out.
As a fan of Rick Santorum, is always going to...
No, I couldn't follow the logic of that joke.
That's okay. That's okay.
But you don't know how many times Al Gore has had to put up with little kids coming up on the street and pointing and laughing because he has a gigantic cock.
He does.
Have we tortured this joke enough?
He didn't start current TV and name it that way for no reason. His dick actually dictates the tides.
Oh, it dictates.
Yes.
Boy, hey, remember the 2000 Democratic convention?
Dick jokes
where
are funny.
Don't make this political, Henry.
No, remember the 2000 Democratic convention where it ended with like him making out with Tipper? Like it was so gross.
Oh, I thought that was him making out with his dick.
His blonde dick.
Now that's far too.
You know, he puts a little wig on it sometimes.
That's
so
far too obscene for Tipper Gore.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's sort of ironic that you know it was his dick that was going after the explicit lyrics.
Somebody's gonna draw this, aren't they? Oh,
parental advisory. Al Gore's wife is his dick.
Now it can be told.
You heard it here first.
Wow.
Love Henry's voice for like, you make me feel irresponsible.
So that was Sagat from Street Fighter.
Yeah, it was Sagat from Street Fighter.
Muay Thai guys have big dicks.
I used to have a Street Fighter noises on my soundboard until Capcom stole my friend.
Yeah. I do wonder if he has bigger balls or dick. Like, what percentage of that
Number
is?
Number five. Is the Tauren Marine. Not Terran.
Mm-hmm. And not Taurine.
No, it is a Tauren from World of Warcraft in StarCraft Space Marine armor.
Yeah.
And it's notable because he's got a gigantic fucking codpiece.
Yeah. Because the artist drew a lot of attention towards his dick.
And not only that, but has not milk painted on it.
Because he's a bull, see?
Yeah.
Kids, don't milk a bull unless he start on Night Court.
I want you to suck off
Richard Mull.
I was editing this. Tyler wrote, and Tyler asked me to look it over, and I love this sentence so much I italicize it for emphasis. It says, "Indeed, that is not milk curdling beneath the Tauren's cold blue armoring. It's semen. Gobs and gobs of anthropomorphized bovine semen."
Oh man.
You know, Tyler Nagata really comes alive with a good cum joke.
He does.
Can we say cum on
this? That
we can say fuck.
It's your fucking show. Decide right now.
Yes.
Okay.
Say it all the time. It is now mandatory in every sentence.
I feel like that's a line.
Would you rather me say cock cheese?
Yes. Man fat.
Is that really what? Is sex that really what dick cheese is? No, dick cheese is smegma. That's what dick cheese is.
Well, either way, they're both delicious. I put them on bagels every day. Every day. Ugh, I'm drunk.
You don't say.
We should also be asking each time, do you think the character is circumcised or uncircumcised?
Hmm. Wait a minute.
In the case of the Tauren, I'm going to say uncircumcised.
Well, I would also say the same with Sagat in his neighborhood. I would say he's
I can't imagine a world in which minotaurs get circumcised just as a matter of course.
Yeah, they're already angry.
When they're 8 days old, Mama Minotaur calls the Minimoil. And they have a lovely deli spread afterwards.
The bovine moil.
Yeah. Well, are you going to get your kids circumcised now that we're talking about it?
Ooh.
That's an awfully
what?
Good question.
I don't know.
That is literally one of those things I never want to approach until I come to it. Because I've actually read up on the circumcision thing. I wish I had my foreskin back.
Yeah, me too.
I wish I had it back. What?
I'm completely indifferent.
Yeah, it's just raw indifference, really.
It's not raw indifference.
It's incredible how controversial that is. It's one of those things that's online. It's super controversial. But if you're talking to people, no one really cares.
My friend, my friends have uncircumcised penis, and they're so much more sensitive. I feel like they get...
How do you know?
Because we talk about sex. Because we grew up together. And, like, I feel like they get more out of sex. And, like, when that shit folds back, it rubs up against the lady spot in a way that stimulates them further. So sex is better for both parties.
Is lady spot in quotes here, Chris?
Yes. I'm not going to say that word on the air. Never. No, that's disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I just say,
women parts are gross.
You sure it's part of the lady? And these dicks and what happens to them and where they go.
Yeah, yes. My foreskin is rubbing up against my boyfriend's prostate ring.
Good.
You guys are talking and thinking about this way more than any straight woman or gay man would.
I only have a few years left to have my dick navigate my life. I'm this close to not caring anymore.
And then what? You're just going to marry the first person that comes along? Or you're
probably
going
to marry the most efficient person that comes along.
Most efficient.
Yes, yeah, so the most tolerating
yes,
person.
Yes, you look like you'll be efficient at producing.
If I have to do this.
I feel
nothing sexually for you.
Nope. But oh man, the tax cuts. Can't wait.
Speaking of breeding hips.
You keep I can just hand you my W-2 and you're...
Who the fuck would marry me? If anybody willing to marry me, I cannot respect. That's where we are.
Oh, that's
you've
that
just
old?
Broken the hearts of so many female T-dards.
Dude, I have put myself out there to fuck many a female T-dard fan. Many is in like from the three. None of them seem to be biting.
We should move on.
We should, yes.
Oh, I thought you were going to recommend female listeners for me. That's fine. I don't need.
I'm not your pimp. Come on.
All right. Not a lot of women listen to PC Gamer. That's all I'm saying. Like, here's the only place where I can put my dick out there.
That's right. Console game is where it's at for the ladies.
All right.
Number four is Muscle March.
Well, this is all. I think this one is just a quantity of crotch.
It is just basically all bulges, and that's why it's funny. It's just it banks on the idea that like watching. Muscle men run around in Speedos is inherently hilarious.
I love that your debug Wii in the office is affixed to a giant sticker of Muscle March, forever tainting it from eBay resales.
But yeah, you've got a bunch of muscle dudes. You've got a muscle woman thrown in just for variety who's indistinguishable from the others.
Oh, it's a woman?
Except that she has slightly bigger hips and like a bra thing.
She has a slight butt.
Yeah.
It's the only way you can tell.
And then there's a polar bear.
I find male transvestites more attractive.
And the polar bear is wearing bigger briefs than all the other characters combined.
Yeah,
like the polar bear is wearing
granny panties.
Yes.
You can call them granny panties.
But he's got less to hide because he's got fur.
I think that makes it funny.
I mean, they're like up to his belly button.
Why so shy, polar bear?
I want to do an expose.
Show it off, damn it!
How come you don't see all animals' dicks all the time? And it feels like they come out of their bodies.
In real life, you kind of do.
You do?
Sort of.
Sometimes you see dogs' dicks, but like
sometimes.
Every time, like
you
I've watched
the Red Rocket,
a ton of blue. What is it? Planet Earth?
Mostly what you see is like that weird pouch that looks sort of like a dick, but then dick comes out of that.
Yes, you see like some like disgusting coin purse where like you assume a dick lives. But every time I see footage of a polar bear, I never see polar bear dick. Yeah. And I saw a picture of a... There's a video on the internet of a manatee masturbating. And it's like...
Wait,
is that the one where the manatee sucks its own dick?
It's like 3.5 feet long. And it comes out of nowhere, and it's pink. So it's like it's inside somewhere.
Wow.
Are we going too far, Henry? Get this under control.
Well, you know, the Muscle March also reminds me that I'm
so committed to games.
No, Muscle March also reminds me that I'm impressed that Tyler made this list without writing about Cho and Iki. Like Cho and Iki.
Yeah, I'm kind of because it was on the original list.
Cho and Iki is incredibly easy. Like Cho and Iki, Harris
Cho and Iki on any other site that would have made it on.
Yes. Yeah.
Which kind of speaks more to
how fucking good we are.
Exactly.
People.
That speaks to their lack of originality. We will not go there.
Bam.
Yeah.
And
too easy.
Looking at the analytics, that shit never would have flown in the red states. We can't go posting that kind of stuff. Everybody voting for Rick Santorum, right?
I'm voting for the frothy discharge.
The frothy discharge.
Mm-hmm. Not the man, just the discharge. I want that as president.
Oh boy.
You all right, Henry?
Nah, nude all the way. He's going to bring us back.
Yeah, if you're going to vote for a detestable human being, vote for the one that's, you know, the most overt about it. Anyway.
That's the funny...
That's true. It's right out there.
Funny tweet I read. Somebody said that, like, oh, Newt Gingrich is getting mad that people are bringing up his sex life when it's personal.
And his record.
But his sex life especially. And then he's like, this was a guy who was in charge of the blowjob, of caring about Clinton's blowjob.
Yep.
Like, while he was getting blowjobs of his own out in his car.
While he was begging his wife for an open man.
Yeah. Exactly.
I want to know if wife number three is into an open marriage, because wife number two said when he brought up open marriage that, oh, Callista's cool with it. She doesn't care what I do. So is he out searching for wife number four already?
Ooh. Well,
and is she cool with it?
It's also funny.
And do they have three ways?
The millions of dollars.
Think about that.
The millions of dollars.
This is what you listen to Talk Radar, folks. The millions of dollars what?
The millions of dollars he spends on, like, gifts and, like, Tiffany's and all that
animated
shit.
Animated gifts?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm just imagining Newt Gingrich making, like, adorable animated gifs of himself running.
Here, honey, it's a panda and there's sparkles. I love
it. Its name is Newt.
I know that I could never do an open marriage, but what I want is some understanding. Hey, let's cheat on each other, but never talk about it. I want a closed
That's
marriage.
That's a weird situation.
So a traditional marriage.
Is that what it is?
But with the understanding, like, if you discover they're cheating, you're like,
Then you've somehow broken the agreement.
But I mean, that's the problem I come into, because I've entered in a lot of relationships that unspoken rule, and this may sound sexist, but I think, like, that
right.
Women. Women need an emotional connection to have sex, and I don't. But I don't think it's an emotional connection. I just think it's a bigger investment for a woman to have sex with somebody.
That's an oversimplification, but I could actually.
It's a bigger
that.
Investment. There's like so many more things to worry about once you sign that contract to fuck a dude.
Okay, step it back, Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, there's your problem right there. Contracts. You're making them sign contracts.
It was a metaphorical contract.
You giving them promise rings too?
Jesus. Fuck you guys. I really
All right, just notarize this and then we'll bone.
I'm tapping into the zeitgeist and you guys keep wanting to talk about gay video games.
What is the next entry?
Next entry is number 3.
Uh-huh.
Saints Row the Third. You, aka me, Tyler Nagata.
Mm-hmm. Make sure to throw Nagata under the bus.
I should read this one. EHQ took the character creation slider to the next level with Saints Row the Third, giving players the freedom to pack as much or as little junk as in their character's front seat as they want. Gone are the days of hanging out in the open world with a grower not a shower tucked away between the thighs like some sad little secret. Now crime fans can enjoy the same level of detail and customization enjoyed by less deserving body parts. Eat your heart out, eyebrow and nose sliders. The sex appeal slider has arrived, and the sandbox will never be the same again.
I love they focus on this, because going into Skyrim and creating my character, like, I spent way too much time figuring out which character I could get their eyes closest. Whereas, like, it seems all the work in Saints Row. Is that one of them look the most retarded? Or the most like Walton Goggins from The Shield?
The thing is, like, doing any face work in Skyrim is kind of a waste, because, like, you will so rarely see that face.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, meanwhile, in Saints Row, like, you can spin that camera around, like, the busty lady you create. And there are more options. I like the equal opportunity-ness of it to, like, have sex appeal apply to a dude as well as not just making giant boobs on a girl.
No, yeah. I disagree with that. You should never sexualize men.
Well,
in any context.
Never?
Never, no.
I'll just have to agree. Just
they're not
shut
to be
your
sexualized.
Whore mouth, Chris.
All right. But see, here's where you come into problems, because, like, I think boobs, they've figured that out. They've round them out. Look at this fucking dick in this article.
It looks like
there's some almost clear definition there.
It looks like Picasso made it, though.
It's going to be kind of angular.
That dick has a right angle in it, like a perfect 90-degree right angle. I am offended by that. Like, there's no way anybody's dick is that angular.
If it's tucked the right way. I mean, like, the head might point straight down.
No, it looks like what happens when you put your Velveeta at the bottom of a grocery bag. That's what that guy's dick looks like.
It's Tyler Nagata's dick you're pointing out there.
I could do a whole show on Tyler Nagata's dick.
I bet you could.
It's amazing.
Is that, like, about it or, like, literally on it?
It's
like,
from atop it?
Like, yes. Yes, you could do a whole show while sitting on Tyler Nagata's dick.
Coming to you live from Tyler Nagata's dick.
Tyler Nagata's dick.
It's the 47th Annual Academy Awards.
Coming to you live, huh?
Oh.
I hope.
Hey.
Oh.
Now you know what it's like to hear that back and after you have to it.
Shall we move on?
Coming to you live from Tyler Nagata's dick. I'm doing Garrison Keillor. While the pubic hair is strong and the semen is good looking.
The Lutherans Come around Tyler Nagata's dick were very angry at the Catholics that year.
I don't know. That's probably a very bad impression.
That's my big Garrison Keillor impression. Like, breathe really deep in that mic.
Teach me how to do this.
Every time. shouldn't do it.
Teach our listeners how to do it.
The band is playing.
I gotta say, I gotta say, your site looks really pretty now.
Does it?
Yeah.
You like that comment thing on the side?
I do. I do like the comment thing on the side.
And the increased font size?
I like the increased font size.
Mm-hmm. That one's taken me a little while to get used to. I keep trying to scale it down, thinking it's too big.
I'm getting used to it now. What do you guys think? Let us know in the comments.
Yeah. Oh, that seems to be our favorite phrase now, so.
Let us know in those comments.
Number two.
This is a personal, longtime favorite of mine. Oh, yeah. Voldo from Soul Calibur.
Great choice.
Specifically in Soul Calibur 5, where he not only has a frightening bulge. Voldo's always been like the most unsettling character. Voldo is like the biggest leather fetish creep in the world.
Yep.
Who just wants to stand way too close to you and rub his sweaty body all over you. But, like, while not actually looking you in the eye or even in your direction, he's just sort of rubbing. And here, he's so creepy that he has a face on his dick. He has a codpiece that is another head.
Just another head.
And the other head has a fucking gag in its mouth.
Yeah.
That is
really
awesome.
Disquieting picture.
No, it's wonderful.
Oh, love that guy.
I do love Voldo. Voldo is my Soul Calibur character. Who I would probably play as if I would have played the last three Soul Calibers, which I will not under any circumstances. Next week.
Yeah,
Pray Arthur Laser Time.
I think I might play 5. If we get copies from the office, I can borrow.
I'll probably do what I did with Soul Calibur 2 and like just pick the special character that I like and not play as anyone else ever. So Link in 2, and there'll be a Ezio in 5.
Cervantes. That's so weird. We were talking about that.
I do like Cervantes.
Talking about that with somebody, of just how Soul Calibur seems to have like sold itself. No, what's different about this one is that it includes a character from a more popular game.
Yeah, and also more tits.
And more tits.
Boy. I don't know. I feel like
video games need tits.
I feel like this
one. Yeah, that's
one
what they're missing.
Yeah. I feel like this one took the smallest step back from the edge that, like, no pun intended, guys, because Soul Edge in Soul Calibur. but, like, in Soul Calibur 4.
Let Michael finish. Keep going. Get it away.
All right, I'm done.
In Soul Calibur 4, like, they went so crazy with the boobs. Like Ivy was practically naked. And I feel like they toned it down ever so slightly. Like, Taki isn't there. Like, Taki's tits also went crazy.
It entered a point where it wasn't anywhere close to sexy. It was ludicrous and seemed desperate.
I wasn't a very big fan of 4 either. Because it's like, it just felt rote. I mean, it didn't... to play into the stupid title, it didn't have much soul to it. Like, there wasn't anything to hook me in. It was very formulaic.
You've been out next week for the review for 5.
I'm hoping 5 is better. But I'll say that about 4. I was not a fan.
All right, were you ready to move into number 1?
I am.
Number 1.
Touch My Katamari. good choice. King of Old Cosmos.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
King of Old Cosmos. Always had a very generous bulge.
That's how he's the king.
I meant to get to the bottom. Is in Japan, is he just called God?
I don't know.
I remember reading a preview about this like long ago, and they referred
king
to him
of
as
Cosmos
God.
Cosmos sounds like a weird English thing to begin with.
Well,
it sounds like they'd call him Kami, like a.k.a. God.
I remember reading multiple previews before it was like confirmed for America, but like game outlets were falling in love with it, and he was referred to as God who got drunk and destroyed the galaxy.
Yeah.
Well, and then when we got it, like...
I've referred to him as that, but like he's never explicitly referred to as God, but he is God. I mean...
Nor did he get drunk, but I remember
king,
reading it specifically in multiple places that he got
drunk. He picks his nose and it turns into a star.
I like in the beginning of the first game, they basically say he got drunk, but he like tries to dress it up like, I just partied so hard.
Yes, I stayed up so late, and from the lack of sleep, I destroyed the stars in the sky.
I can see the cosmos. I love those games. Did you see the trailer for the next one? For
I'm hearing good things about the next one.
Well, for the on the Vita game, they had this
That's
really
my Katamari. Mm-hmm.
They had this really cool intro.
Touch it.
Where like the King of All Cosmos is retelling the first game's plots like as a live show, but indulging it for himself, and then afterwards your typical family is left the show, mom, dad, and son, and the son is like, Dad, is the King of All Cosmos really awesome? Yeah, son. Is he awesomer than you? Yeah, your dear old dad's got nothing compared to King. And then he says, wow, is he more awesome than my school principal? And then the father's like, ooh, boy, that's a tough one. I don't know. And then the mom says, I think they're equally awesome. And then the kid goes like, oh, really? And then they walk away, and then there's just silence, and then the king's head just appears slowly over the horizon and has, like, the most shocked look on his face and, like, can't believe that someone would say he's only equally as awesome as a principal.
Principal's going to be dead. I want his family dead. I want his house burned to the ground.
Same way Steve Martin wore an arrow through the head. He uses a Persian rug. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a commitment.
That's true. That's what that is. Okay.
That is a commitment. I love that. I want to chalk in some, throw in some Final Fantasy music this week, but I love Katamari. The first Katamari Damacy is one of the greatest games to revisit.
One of the greatest games, period.
It still works. It's short, brief.
It was $20 when it came
out. Yes, $20. It's still probably, Michael, you're the game cover expert. It might be my favorite game cover of all time. Just a very, baseball very stadium rolled in the background under a rainbow with a cow munching grass slightly.
The cows are the focal point of the cover, though, which is great.
No, I'm thinking of Wheel of Katamari that had a very simplistic cover. But mm-hmm.
Well, that one has the house
Katamari
on it, right?
It was awesome.
We Love Katamari has the house on
it.
I probably said it on laser.
Also, the best intro of all time.
Yes.
Easily. Just like ducks coming in and singing for no reason.
Should we close out the segment with that?
Yeah, we should.
All right. But I had all the Katamari music. There's tons of music in that game. Like a lot of really long songs. And my friend...
It's like they hired like three indie bands.
My friend got a new entertainment system. And this is a new way to date myself. Just got for the first time HD television. Television in high definition. And what was available? Practically nothing. The things you see for like $4 on DVD where they like fly a helicopter over Africa or like the shit in the background at karaoke.
HD fireplace.
Yes. And it was that. And like, oh, this is boring. Like, there's a narrator. I don't want to listen to him. Like, it's Katamari music. So like, this Katamari music scored all this beautiful, the first HD footage I'd ever seen in somebody's home.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. That's my memory of it. Anyway, that's the top seven.
Nice. That's the top seven. When we come back,
I do have some game views.
Do you?
Yeah, we can.
All right, we'll do those, and then we'll segue into the live community segment, and then we'll bring it back around to last week's question of the week.
Oh, we're gonna do that. Okay, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Hey, we're here at the Darksiders 2 preview event in San Francisco. With me is Hayden Dalton, lead designer on the game. How you doing, Hayden?
I'm good, Michael. Glad to be here.
Excellent. All right, so we've been talking a little bit about some of the key differences in Darksiders 2. Let's see, if we could talk again a little bit about the sort of MMO, the character customization, the names and hit points that are appearing about the characters. Can you tell us again why you kind of shifted in that direction?
Yeah, the reason why, well, we knew that we wanted to do some character customization in the game, and, you know, everybody kind of loves the idea of doing loot, you know, the kind of jackpot feel of getting, right. You know, you could get any sort of item off any sort of creature. And with that sort of system that you're putting there, you know, because a lot lots of stats and different ways of combining your stats of how effective you are doing damage or, you know, like absorbing damage. We thought that, you know, you had to have a way of the player being able to see that direct increase of the player's abilities. So that's the reason why we showed them the creature health bar. It shows them why they have like hit damage indicators coming up, and whenever you do a critical strike, you see slightly bigger numbers. So the player needs to see that feedback very quickly. I mean, you can see the stats in the inventory screen, but actually being able to see in game and how it affects how you attack the different creatures is very important to have that sort of like instant feedback for the player.
Okay. And the first game had kind of a very like Zelda-inspired layout. I'm sure you're getting this question a lot. But is this going to be similar, or is this kind of branching out in its own direction, kind of finding its own rhythm?
We wear a lot of our influences on our sleeve, and you know, we definitely, more than anything, we actually look back at what we did in the first game. We love what we did in the first game. We wanted to enhance it and take it a little bit further. So that actual core level design and that sort of like action adventure structure, that's like the heart of the game. That hasn't changed. We've kind of kept with that structure all the way throughout the Darksiders 2. So that's very important to us. So yeah.
And what was behind the decision? I know tonight you've been showing off side quests. What was behind the decision to show those off?
The reason why I wanted to show the side quests is the fact that we just want to show the sort of level of content that we were giving to the player that they didn't have to do. You know, is the quality and the time that we were actually putting in some of these side dungeons, some of the fights that the player could do. And just to show you how much fun you can have with it, you know, without having to do the core stuff in the game. And we think that players are going to have just as much fun doing the side quests as they are going to be doing the main quest. They're going to be a whole new set of different creatures and characters, NPCs, get a hold of some new items that they couldn't get through the main route. So we really want them to explore the world and have fun in the side quests. You know?
Okay. And I think I read that plot-wise, this is taking place at the same time as the first game, right?
Yeah.
So what is Death doing the whole time that War is asleep in stasis from the Chart Council?
Basically, obviously, Death finds out about this, and he's basically, it's an attempt to clear his brother's name. So this is basically the two plot lines running simultaneously, because obviously everyone's thinking, well, what's going on with the other horsemen? Right now, we're telling what Death's side of the story was when War was out with him, and then War comes back into Earth, and what he was doing to try and clear him.
Okay. And is it taking place in more or less the same world, the ruined Earth, or are we going to be seeing completely different
areas? It's a completely new world, but everything in the game is set in the underworld. So, you know, we can kind of go a little bit more fantastical with the environments. We can skip to lots of different, very different locations and places, visual places. So, yeah, it allowed us a lot more freedom, both like creatively, visually, and design-wise to create our levels. So that's fun.
So, obviously, we talked earlier, Death is a much faster character than War. How does that translate into the combat? Does the combat have a completely different feel? Is it similar?
It feels, I don't know if you saw it from the actual demo that you just saw, but it's definitely a lot more frantic because, you know, War would stand in position, he'd block, he was very sort of like, it was kind of very solid, whereas Death's more about like evasion and kind of like getting out of the way and getting back in again without getting struck, whereas, you know, War was pretty much jumping in the middle of everyone and kind of take all the blows and keep striking. So the feel of the combat is a lot faster. Like the way he evades, he can cover a lot of distance in just a couple of flicks. So basically, it's very rare you'll see Death stood in one place for very long. So there's always something going on in the combat. It feels a lot, the way it flows now, straight from flipping straight into combat and right back out again. We're pretty happy with the way the combat's panned out.
About how long are our players going to have to wait before they get a horse this time?
Actually, you get the horse right at the start of the game. We heard that. We thought it was a great epic moment when you got ruined in the first game, but damn, these people wanted the horse earlier. So we kind of looked at that and said, we did put it quite far into the game, so let's give it a little early on. And plus the world's so large now, having that sort of fast transportation early on is massively important. So
did you work on the first game?
Yeah, I was a lead designer on the first game.
Excellent. What would you say are kind of the biggest lessons that you took away from the first game and the reaction to the first game, and things that you really thought needed to be addressed or changed in this one?
found out that the third-person action adventure genre is a bloody hard one to develop. That's what we found out. I mean, just the camera issues involved, right? I mean, you're dealing with, like, a very organic, dynamic environment where the camera could be anywhere at any time, you know. We haven't got the luxury of just being able to lock the camera in place and kind of, you know, take the control out of the player's hand. The player can kind of mess with that camera at any point. So that's always been one big thing. And I'd say the biggest challenge from the first one, let's see. I guess it was really mainly like player choice was the biggest thing, because, you know, if you had two people sat down playing Darksiders side by side for like an hour or two, where they were in the game within that sort of time would be very similar. In this one, you know, we wanted to make sure that 2 hours could be spent very, very differently. And, you know, that was one of the biggest challenges. It's like, well, how can we make sure that a player has, you know, two distinctly different play experiences? So that was something that we had to delve into and mess with.
So going along those lines, is the critical path, is that something that's going to branch at some point? I mean, I know you have a lot of side quests, but is that just incidental, or will that actually affect the way that the plot develops? I don't know if you can even talk about that.
Yeah, I can't really talk too much about it, but you definitely find out information in the side quests that do actually are very, very relevant to what you're doing in the main quest, and possibly even maybe reference back to the first game. So we think players who play the side quest will not only get a different player experience, but they'll basically understand the story even better by taking on these side quests.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I should ask.
About 5 more minutes.
Okay. Okay. So we touched on combat. I mean, I guess it is a much bigger world, obviously. Yeah. Can you say, like, about how much bigger?
Not exact size of it right now, but it's probably at least twice the size of the first one. You know, and because we've been in development straight from the end of the first one, and we took the experience from the first one, I think it kind of really shows through with the quality of the world when you actually get to actually walk around and look around the place. We're really happy with where that's evolved out. But, I mean, anything about a big world, right, it's not just about the size. Like, if you're going to give a big world and give the player nothing to do within it, it doesn't really matter how big the world is. So I think that's definitely been one of our challenges in this one, is if we're going to give them all the space to play, and what sort of interesting things can we do to keep the player engaged all the time in these sort of large areas. So that's something that's going to be ongoing with us right to the end of the project. I mean, we've got lots of ideas. We've already implemented a lot of the things that we want the player to do in the overworld areas of the game. So we'll be tweaking that right to the end.
Okay. And going back to the Zelda layout question, I mean, are you still going to have, like, critical upgrades, gadgets, things like that, or is it just going to be like you continuously find new loot that's dropped by enemies?
The loot thing is kind of that will always be happening. But as for the key gear items that we call them in the first one, yeah, there's definitely like critical ones where, you know, you can see that thing that obstacle you can't overcome, and at some point down the game you actually get that item, then you can kind of go back and overcome that thing. So there's definitely going to be that. And loot works in a slightly different way. You know, you might come to, say, a side dungeon that you find it, like, really too difficult to get through. Then it's not really about a gear, right? You might go back with, like, a much better set of armor, or, like, much better weapons and much better, like, wrath magic moves and things like that, and being able to handle that just because of the loot. So the loot kind of allows us to do that, but in a slightly different way. I mean, skilled players will always, you know, try and, you know, headstrong into there, but players, average players, we think there's certainly going to be areas where maybe loot will overcome our type of obstacle, which will be combat.
All right. Well, the game's looking great. Darksiders 2 due out summer 2012?
Yes,
all right. Thank you, Hayden.
All right.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Hey, does anybody want to listen to the rest of this motherfucking podcast?
Yeah!
Hey, welcome back to Talk Radar 196. In a moment, we're going to segue into our live community feature. But before we do that, we have game deals to talk about.
Oh, gamers!
Take my advice, do as I say, save a little money for a rainy day.
What? You know, I haven't seen anything of Kingdoms of Amalur.
You mean like
that comes out next week?
It does.
No. It's the 7th.
But I've never seen the game in person. Uh-huh. But I'm interested.
Yeah.
And but right now I'm seeing it. Wow, is this Toys R Us really? Toys R Us 360 PS3 $45.
$45
Kingdoms
of Amalur.
Yeah, brand new game
to pre-order.
Yeah, I guess so.
Wow, but that's impressive. It's a really good deal.
Yeah, I guess so. And they also have Toys R Us pre-orders coming up. Grand Slam Tennis 2 for $38. FIFA Street for $45. Tiger Woods PGA Tour 13 for $45. And Game of Thrones.
Thrones.
For 45 pence. Dollars. I do love Game of Thrones. I don't want to make
45 Daenerys.
I still haven't watched it.
I have not seen the show.
Oh my God.
What?
You guys need to watch more TV.
Well, Chris.
I've read all the books.
Chris it's is the biggest TV, game.
It's HBO.
Chris is the biggest Game of Thrones fans in the Laser Time studio right now.
Am I? Oh, yeah. You really had to qualify it there. Yeah. Like everybody else in the office has read it.
But you read all the books.
Your boss has read it.
Yeah, but you've read all the books.
I have, and I'm deeply dissatisfied with the fourth one. I don't know what I even care to read the fifth one, but the first three are just amazing. This needs to be a television series. Done one book, one season, and I cannot believe they did it.
But then
I started watching it, and unlike Walking Dead, which I'm disappointed by because they don't follow the storyline, I get bored because I know Game of Thrones goes rigidly by the books. And at least Walking Dead, like, I watch and it challenges me. Like, I didn't know that. Oh wow, that's a new scenario. And like, I couldn't keep up with Game of Thrones because it was too predictable for me.
Didn't they and a character says winter is coming, right?
Yeah, everybody says winter is coming. So, it's actually on a crest. It's the Winterfell crest.
They just have a macro of that. It's like the screenwriters, every time they're like, and then he says, how about he just says winter is coming again?
Yeah, winter's coming.
And then they stare at each other ominously.
It's like Martin Lawrence.
Let's write in a prostitute named Winter so we can turn it into a sex gag.
No you and that coming. It's sort of like saying shit's about to go down. Because winter doesn't come every year.
That's true.
In this story, it comes when things are going to get bad.
Yeah, like it hasn't come for like 1,000 years or something.
And there's a wall holding off winter. Mm-hmm. Wow, game deals. Whoopsie-daisy.
Game of Thrones game deals.
A little distracted.
I'm drunk. Mass Effect 3 for PC at Newegg. Promo code, write this down, kids. EMCYTZT1. 034 Mass Effect 3 for $48. Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
That's all these pre-order deals. This is crazy.
Because,
What a country.
I'm drunk. Jesus. Oh, man. Is this still happening? 12 months of an Xbox Live Gold membership? Really?
For what?
Can I buy my way online?
You always could.
I'm sorry.
It's actually more expensive now than it ever
was. I'm taking a PC elitist stance because Steam is absolutely wonderful and I can't imagine having
to pay.
Remember
when they tried to do Game for Windows Live and to actually get people to pay to use it?
Yeah.
Like, what a mistake that was. They had a whole magazine named after it.
On Amazon, but you can get your 12 months of, Halo... Modern Warfare 3 playing.
Online multiplayer is, you can only get it through paid.
$35 though. Not bad.
And I have no idea why.
Free shipping for that gold card, by the way, so that code can get there and you can enter it.
Well, they're starting to do these more deals of like gold member only, like arcade game deals that make it slightly more worthwhile.
Ooh.
That's true.
At Newegg, I always shout it out. Brutal Legend, $5, PS360.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's been a while, man.
Yeah, well, it was like 3 years ago.
In the words of Stained, it's been a while.
Mm-hmm. It has been a while.
That's not very Brutal Legend.
The game was really quite good, apart from the RTS.
Yes.
Even those weren't as bad as they're made out to be. They're just awkward.
Yes.
It was a weird
game. It's not what I took away from the game when everything was said and done.
Now, to me, that's always a free-roaming adventure where you swing a sword or an axe.
Ooh, I see SSX on PS360 for $45 at Toys R Us. Free shipping. I'm really excited about a new SSX.
Everything's $45 right now.
I know. And what do we have here? Also at Newegg, Blood Drive, which is a game I forgot existed.
I forgot, too.
PS360, $9.99 on Newegg.
Remember when, I feel like there was a time when Blood Drive was first announced, that, like, when Tyler Wilde was doing news, he was like, He was trying to get Dan Amrick to comment on it. I don't want to put words in Dan Amrick's mouth, but I feel like even Dan Amrick didn't know blood drive existed.
It seemed to come out of nowhere. And
yeah, but they were just like, this isn't going to... We can put money in this to make it a little better, but it won't be good. Just dump it.
Sonic Generations, also at Newegg, $29.99. And I want to give that game a shitload of credit because it's a hell of a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I just bought it for half that price on Steam.
I see.
Yep. Yep, what did I pay? Like $44 for Generations, mm-hmm. 1 through 4, mm-hmm. CD, Adventure, and Spinball for $44.
That's a pretty great deal.
And I'll have those forever, regardless of where Microsoft wants me to ship my broken Xbox.
Speaking of digital game deals, real quick, I just remembered one. On PSN, if you're a PlayStation Plus member, so mm-hmm. I know this isn't speaking to a lot of people, mm-hmm. but they have a... Capcom is doing a digital sale.
Yes.
Like,
wow.
Seven different games.
Eight.
What's Super Street Fighter 2 mm-hmm. HD Remix, the Puzzle Fighter 2, mm-hmm. Rocket Man, mm-hmm. Bionic Commando
2. Final
Flock,
Fight Double Impact.
Flock, Final Fight Double Impact,
mm-hmm.
and Age of Booty. Altogether, $12.50.
Jesus, dude, those are all great games. I did, and I just wanted to say, I played so much Sonic 4 and Generations in preview stages. I played them both final versions. Finally, when I threw my Xbox controller because I can't move a mouse right now, or right analog stick. I cannot believe how well Sonic Generations made classic Sonic, and 4 failed so miserably.
Yeah.
And Sonic 4 Episode 2 hit Android this week. Apparently. Who knew? Wow. Who knew? It's out on Android alone. And
I bet everybody's rushing to get that.
Yeah, I cannot believe how terrible 4 is looking to the first couple levels of Sonic Generations. Sonic Generations is a fucking solid game, but best Sonic game in years. Whatever you guys gave it was...
Eight was very deserving.
Eight is cool because there's still the Sonic 3D levels, which are abysmal.
Never fun.
Abysmal. But that is our game deals.
All right, so there wasn't much news this week, and not a whole lot came out. So we're just going to segue directly into our community segment, and we're going to do things backwards a little bit. We're going to ask the new question of the week during that segment, and then when we come back, we will have the old question of the week, and we'll read off the answers. So stay tuned. Welcome to this Freedom Meetup.
Hi, Michael.
And this live community segment for Talk Radar 196.
196, and how are we kicking this thing off? I think we're about to kick off our Final Fantasy trivia competition with tons of prizes.
I wouldn't say tons.
It's not tons? Cheryl, tell them what the win.
All right, so we're about to do our trivia contest. If you guys are interested, the grand prize is a copy of Final Fantasy 13-2, all the DLC, which is like all the exclusives from like...
What?
All the DLC, all of them. A Final Fantasy 13-2 poster and a book. So if you're interested, come on down. We're about to start.
Or else.
You hear that free Final Fantasy shit right now? Okay, right. Hi, yeah.
Line up.
Are we ready? Henry, do you have the trivia questions in hand?
Wait, we need like a single file line.
And then after that, we're going to have a bunch of other stuff to give away just by answering questions about games and maybe Final Fantasy. I don't want to give too much away.
We don't want people preparing for this.
How are you guys doing? I can barely hear you.
Really?
Yeah.
I can hear me.
I really got to focus. How's that going?
Eye on the prize.
So if we can get a line of people like right around here.
Yeah, single file line down the center here.
How this is going to work is we basically everyone gets one question. If you answer correctly, you get back in line. If you don't answer correctly, you're out.
Of the building.
All right.
Okay, here we go.
He's in. All right, wait for everyone.
I think you and I should guess what we think the answers are.
Yeah, that's a good idea, especially if we're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is exciting audio right here.
This is, and I think the thing that makes this so exciting is that, I mean, there's energy in the air.
There is. There is energy in the air. None of it's focused at us.
No, which makes me happy.
I can hear
people
you guys
are having
now.
Conversations.
I I can hear you guys now. We're figuring out
Final Fantasy Trivia Contest.
Final Fantasy Trivia Contest.
Right around here. Like, gather around here. Are you guys in it? No? Just try.
You can
come
do
on.
It.
You're
get
gonna
up
try.
Here.
You're going to try. You
there's
guys
like
to
a,
try?
There's like a 90% chance the answer to every
Sweet.
Question is going to be Cloud.
Right, just say right
so
here.
Just
say
jump
right
in
here.
Line.
You have nothing to lose and an awesome prize
The two
to
cosplayers in the back.
Cosplayers.
I see you.
Cosplayers.
Oh, they're taking pictures. They're taking pictures. Hi. Two cosplayers in the back.
Set everybody attack.
Five. We have five competitors.
Five?
Right? Or,
that's it?
That's it? Seriously?
Yeah, you guys couldn't buy this shit if you wanted to. It's, and it's free now. Don't be shy.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is single elimination. If you get it wrong, but if you get one wrong, then you're out. But if everybody in the round gets it wrong, I guess we'll just start over. Let's hope that doesn't happen.
Thrilling.
All right. Okay, let's start with you. Okay, so what Final Fantasy enemy is known for its 1,000 needles attack?
I know this one, by the way.
Tonberry.
Is Kakitar. What do we do if nobody wins?
We keep the prizes for ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
That's not true.
That's a good idea. Okay, next person. Let's see here. Who is the main protagonist in Final Fantasy IV?
That's a rough
ding,
one.
Ding, ding.
Is that the guy that had, like, the sword?
It was also Final Fantasy II in America when it first came out.
Tick, tick, tick.
No,
closer, Henry.
I don't really remember those games. Not Ingus. I'm just going to say, yeah, I know he's...
It is Cecil, or Cecil. Cecil Harvey.
Notice that guy that got it wrong. Wasn't that the guy from Ghost Trick everyone talks about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Same
sure.
person.
Same
yes,
person?
Exactly
right.
The same
Spiky
person.
Spiky blonde-haired
yes.
dude?
Yes.
Always.
They're all the same person. Let's see here. All right.
Next question.
Okay, who's next? All right.
Cloud is next. Awesome.
I will not be asking a question from Final Fantasy VII.
Whoa, stacking the cards.
Okay, who sang Eyes on Me, the ending song to Final Fantasy VIII?
That was the girl in the dress. I don't know.
She wins. That's great.
Julia.
Oh, no, nah, it was...
I could have sworn the answer to that was Mickey Mouse.
It was Fei Wong. Fei Wong.
Are these questions trending too old? Is that the problem?
All right. No, we're just trying to alienate our community by
that's good. That's
possible
good.
Questions.
But the funny part is right now there's people sitting there screaming at their iPhone like, it was the... How do you not know this?
No, I'm doing that. I'm doing that.
Yeah, I'm doing that inside.
Okay. Next person.
We
all
got
right.
this.
What does ATB stand for in Final Fantasy games?
ATB. ATB?
Active time R.
Is active time battle. Active time battle.
We've all been, there are free drinks
you
at this
so
show.
Close.
We should say that.
And we are going to take
little,
one of the
little,
strategy
little
guys
hostess.
And rip it in
okay,
thirds and give them two-thirds of that one.
Who's next? Next up in the trivia competition is Dave Rutten.
Dave
no?
Rutten.
Okay.
You're
going to be on mic later.
Get the hell out of here.
RxM's Dave Rutten okay. walking away in shame. With no Final Fantasy prizes.
Awesome mustache.
Okay, so you're next. All right. What company supplies Mako power in Final Fantasy VII?
Shinra. Shinra Company.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Oh my god! Okay, wait.
Nerd! Stop it!
Just saying. Just
stop it.
Calling it like
okay. Alright, so this is a Final Fantasy X question. What party member in Final Fantasy X uses a blitz ball as a weapon?
I actually know this
Waka?
One.
Waka.
Yeah.
It's Waka.
Hey.
It's over. That's my Waka impression.
That's two.
That was a good Waka impression.
You're what? Thank you. Thank you. You're the only one who gets me, Coop.
What?
Oh, wait, do we have somebody else that's trying to enter before we go into
no.
round two?
No. Heidi cannot enter. She reviewed the game. That's,
yes.
That's
yes.
unfair.
All right. Final Fantasy XII question. What is the name of the setting or world that Final Fantasy XII takes place in? It was also the setting... Huh? It was also the setting of Final Fantasy Tactics Advance.
Hold your mic up to him, Henry.
Ivalice.
That is right.
Woo! Got his judge on. Because there were judges in the game. Do you remember that, Michael?
Let's see.
You do remember that.
Yes!
Okay.
We got a game going.
All right, so now Final Fantasy IX question.
We're going to be here all night, right. by the way.
What is the name of the Night Party member in Final Fantasy IX?
Steiner.
That is right.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, this would be like a spelling bee. If one person has to get it right.
Yeah, we're in sudden death now.
If you
now.
Both lose, then it just goes to another
Can
round.
Can we get your names, by the way?
I'm Dave.
I'm Aaron.
Aaron.
Thank you, Dave.
That's Henry.
Let's go back a page here. Okay. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Oh, yeah. Ba-ba-ba.
Come on, Henry.
Up.
Come on, we didn't break for commercial.
we can just edit out this part, right?
Nope.
No.
We're live. We're, all right. No people around us. You can't edit real life.
People are listening on the internet right now.
In which Final Fantasy did... this is a Sid question. In which Final Fantasy did Sid design airships for the Red Wings?
Final Fantasy IV.
That's correct.
Whoa! Yeah. All right, we keep going. This is getting tense.
Okay.
You don't see it, but there's already blood.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
It's a T-rated game.
Inside. Blood on the inside.
Yep.
Okay. Final Fantasy 13. Know that one? Okay. In Final Fantasy 13, what is the capital city of Cocoon? Well, Final Fantasy 13 is a pretty great game, guys, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I
definitely knew the answer to this question before I asked it.
That's good, because I didn't.
Anybody would.
The answer is Zaz.
Say something. Luca?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh!
It is Eden. Eden is the capital city of Cocoon. But thank you for playing. So our winner is Dave.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave. That was fun, everybody.
So community segment.
Is this the community segment?
Is this technically the community segment?
I think it is, unless there's
Who wants more Final Fantasy shit? I don't know if you're familiar with our filthy, stupid podcast Talk Radar. But we do a community segment. Yeah, thank you. Oh,
we have one fan.
One person in the back.
Yes.
Yes, it was all worthwhile. We do a question of the week, don't we, Michael?
We do.
We do. And we figured since everybody is here live, if we have a couple of books to give away and a couple of posters, Cheryl. And if you answer this question of the week, and what is our question of the week? Are we going to do the old one or the new one?
We could start with the new one since that was what people are here to pay
attention to. We can start with the new one. But like, for example...
And then we'll read off the answers to last week's, which
sure,
are boring.
Sure, okay, that's great. That's right, it'll bore all of you.
It will, I guarantee you. We have very boring fans.
But our new question of the week, and I think we should revolve with people from the crowd. You say right. one, they say one.
Sure.
What was it?
What is your favorite memory from a Final Fantasy game?
What is your favorite memory from a Final Fantasy game?
And I believe it can be in or, like, personal story or moment from the game.
Anecdotes, just there's something, like... I mean, the series is spread so far, it's been around so long, everybody has a connection with one game more than another. Like, I haven't even played that many, but I personally love 10. 10 is my game. 10 is the first one I played. It got me into the other games that at the time looked boring. And, I love 10 so much. 10, 2, not so much. Am I missing out on anything, anybody?
No? You can change outfits.
10, 2? X, 2?
FX 2?
You gotta get in the microphone.
Yes, I played 10-2. Yeah, as a costumer, it was my favorite because the dress sphere system was like, oh wow, it's costuming the RPG. This is amazing.
It was part of the battle system in that game, and that's why I didn't like it as a male. But you were talking, I'm like, can people come a little closer to me? I can't walk that far. What is your favorite Final Fantasy memory?
Well, again, 10-2 was really good for me, and when I finally unlocked Yuna's ultimate dress sphere with, like, the orchid and everything, I remember just being so floored by the beauty of the animation. I shed a tear. I guess that's probably my finest memory.
That's sweet.
That's great. Well, before responding, would you like a poster or a book? Yay! Wow. It's a Final Fantasy hardbound book. Final Fantasy 13, woo! Episode I. I know they're pronouncing it Episode I. You know they are. Favorite Final Fantasy memory. Who else we got? Oh, wait. You guys want to say one?
I'll do mine.
All right,
it is also Final Fantasy X related. I didn't play many of the Final... I never got far in any of them until 10. And 10's sphere grid system was really complicated at first. So I just didn't care and bother with it. So I had friends that come over and be like, yeah, let me see your game. And I'd show them. And I got like halfway through the game without leveling up at all. And then when I learned how to do it, I'm like, oh, cool. Now I'm playing on easy mode.
I messed up on my sphere grid. And I totally fucked... Kamari 10 I totally fucked him up. He should have been my strongest player ever. I gave him all the dumbass magic, which he wasn't good at.
Right.
And, yeah, I'm so pissed. I essentially lost that character to myself during my initial 80-hour playthrough.
It's a shame.
Oh, but what is your favorite Final Fantasy memory?
A book.
Of course, I'm going to say the obvious when Aeris died, but I'm going to say something different.
Spoiler!
Wow.
I'm going to say something different because, you know, that's the obvious, but I have to say, besides that, the ending of 13 resonated with me at the moment because, you know, I just graduated from college and, like, moving to a new city and, you know, the message of the game was about, you know, sacrifice and... I'm not going to give away the ending this time. I'm not going to do that. But the ending of 13, the meaning for me was, you know, leaving something behind to pursue your dreams. And in the ending of 13, you know, all the friends, they sacrificed something very important to them. And
you're getting actually choked up just thinking about it. Don't think about Ragnarok.
I'm not going to think about Ragnarok. I get choked up every time I think about the ending of 13. And so, you know, moving to the city, I left a lot behind. And, how, you know, these Eric just left it all behind, you know, two of their friends.
Oh, you're all right?
Okay.
Well, how about this? Would you like a poster or a book? Okay, okay. Oh. I hear they all come back in 13-2. Maybe they're not dead.
No, I don't know if that's
I don't
true.
Know that at all. I've not heard that. I've not... Don't say spoiler. That means I just... broken embargo I wasn't aware of.
There you go. Oh, that was such a...
That was an amazing story, dude.
No, I'm glad.
I was a big fan of that ending, too. I really was. And I connected very strongly with those characters, and I can get by...
What's your name again?
My name's Aaron.
Thank you very much, Aaron.
Yes,
I'm so glad you shared something so personal. Heidi? Wait, we're going to switch back. Cooper? Michael? Henry?
Final Fantasy VI?
Six.
I thought it was kind of a high watermark in 16-bit storytelling, and the World of Ruin moment when the, you know, spoiler alert on a 15, 16-year-old game, when the world kind of gets turned to ash by a giant laser, and the main character switches to Celeste, and she's, you know, being nursed back to health by this guy, and then she has to nurse him back to health, Cid, and she sets out to search for her friends. That was a genuinely touching moment in a 16-bit game.
You don't seem to be touched as much as Aaron, so I'm going to...
Yeah,
you have to give another answer.
There's about 16
years of
distance
just disappearing into his beard.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, it's making us all look bad.
Let's move over to our buddy Heidi. No spoilers, Heidi.
No spoilers. Not going to have any spoilers here, but more of a general Final Fantasy type memory. This would be in relation to Final Fantasy VI / Final Fantasy III at the time. When that game came out, I was stuck at this new school and I was really fucking miserable. I had no friends. It was just like, I was that weird kid, you know, that person who liked video games a bit too much and acted a little odd. And it, so, like, I had this Final Fantasy VI and it was kind of a comfort thing for me. Just
became your temporary family.
Well, I had my real family, but this game kind of helped me cope with the misery of being in this environment. And I would just like draw the little characters, and eventually I was in a class with somebody who recognized that I had like drawn this little Mog on my folder, and he's like, "Oh my God, you like Final Fantasy as well?" And keep in mind, this is before 7 made this shit, like, super popular, so...
Yeah.
We were just, like, the two kindred spirits, and he was about the only person in this school I had some connection with, and so we talked about all our stupid little JRPGs and all this fun stuff, and eventually I went back to my old school after that, but I kind of want to thank Final Fantasy VI for helping me get me through that. Thank you.
Thank you, Final Fantasy VI.
Wow.
Thank you, Final Fantasy VI.
Thank you, Heidi. Thank you, Heidi. Does anybody else have a Final Fantasy memory of yours?
I have, like, a lot that goes when it comes to Final Fantasy, because I've actually played all the games in chronological order.
What's your name? Sorry?
Like after you played them already, or you sought out to play them?
No, I've played all of them since they first originally came out. But it's mostly thanks to my uncle, because I first played 1 on the NES. He found that I was interested in the game, so he gave me the original copies in Japanese, and it took me a while to get through all of them in chronological order. But out of all the games I played so far, I'm definitely going to say like 9 stood out to me the most because of a really great storyline. It had a really good battle system that brought back the old-fashioned one, two, three, before, and then four, five, and then parts of six when they had the job class system where each character was specified to a system. And nine had a really great story. I loved this character development. The designs were fantastic. The music was beautiful. And I think the best memory I had was definitely the wedding scene when they're trying to pass by the town with the locals. I'm trying to remember, like, I'm probably going to butcher the name, but it's Conde Pitti. And at the end of the wedding between Zidane and Garnett, there was a choice for Vivi and Quenna where they were wondering how they should get through. Without a doubt, I said, why don't you two get married? And then when they progressed to the ATE scene, it was just hilarious to see them getting married, and I laughed so hard. I couldn't stop laughing for like a good 10 minutes because of how hilarious it was. And at the end, Vivi's like, I love you too.
See, that makes me super sad because I missed out on Final Fantasy IX because I like sci-fi more than I like fantasy, and I looked at like, I don't want to go step backwards, but then everybody tells me it has the best story.
It does.
Of all the Final... Yeah, yes. See, the best story of all the Final Fantasy games. So I should... Is it... I can still go back and play it. You promise?
You can definitely skip 9, because a lot of people overlooked it because of the release of the PlayStation 2 and 10 coming out. People were saying, oh my goodness, 10, PlayStation 2, let's get it. And then they neglect 9. Mm-hmm. And even the creators themselves, majority of them said 9 was their favorite overall at that time. And even one of the producer even admitted he wanted to make a sequel, but at that time Square decided to push more forward on Final Fantasy X at that time because of PlayStation 2 being released. So they basically, a lot of gamers missed out, but in a certain sense, you could still go back to it because in the end, it's basically a throwback to the originals with a more advanced graphics, battle system, good music. You know, it has everything that you could definitely ask in a Final Fantasy game if you were want to go back to the old-fashioned originality that the Final Fantasy first had.
This is very true.
It is.
I feel guilty every time we bring up Final Fantasy IX. That's why. Did you have an anecdote you want to really? Oh, do you want a poster? Poster sounds good. Put them in up with a poster. Hi.
Wow, that's a lot of posters.
I'm also another person who's really into Final Fantasy VI. That was my favorite one. I felt that the characters were really memorable. I really liked Locke, and I think Kefka was the best like antagonist in any of the Final Fantasy games. I think he makes Sephiroth cry. So.
is that your first Final Fantasy game?
Yes, actually, VI was my first Final Fantasy. So I guess there's some bias there because it was my first. But overall, it was my favorite. The next Final Fantasy I played after that was Final Fantasy VIII. I played VII after VIII.
That's quite a leap.
Yeah, it was quite a leap. And I remember getting really... I never finished Final Fantasy VIII because I was playing it. And I got over to, I think, like the third disc or so. And then I lost my memory card. And after that, I was just like, screw it. I'm never touching VIII again. And I haven't played it, so I don't know what the ending is to VIII.
I'm not going to spoil it for you, but I will say YouTube. YouTube, I believe, has the ending of every Final Fantasy game posted 7 million times.
Yes, I think that's a good bet.
Either that or I could just suck it up and go and play it again.
I haven't finished 8. I've seen the ending several times. You should probably go see the ending.
It's
beautiful,
such a touching ending.
Probably.
Very touching.
Awesome, thank you very much. Would you like a book or a poster? Poster for the man. Henry, does anybody else have a Final Fantasy related anecdote? Free book or poster? I feel like I'm selling something, but I'm not. Okay, hold on. Henry, you can go.
All right. Well, Final Fantasy VI was the first big one for me, too. I was a big fan of Final Fantasy VI. I just liked really old school stuff. But I'm going to say Final Fantasy V because once I finally played Final Fantasy V as a remake on the PlayStation, I couldn't believe how awesome the job system was and was so addicted to getting everybody versed in every single job. Like, it was so much fun. But then after Final Fantasy VI, all the games got bad, in my opinion. No, I'm just kidding. But,
Well, where did Chris go? All right, he went off to have a separate conversation. So we're gonna move on then. For those of you who...
Hold on, I got a special guest.
Oh, you do, okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, OXM's Dave Rudden has a Final Fantasy memory to relay.
All right.
And it must be from Final Fantasy 13, because it's the only one,
right?
Wait,
I think I know what it is. Was it one time I played Final Fantasy? Was it one time I played Final Fantasy?
You know, the joke's falling flat. Let's move on.
Why are you projecting all this bullshit on Dave?
I don't know.
Yeah. We're jealous of his mustache.
Yeah, his mustache.
It is about 7, so there's that.
Okay, all right,
yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, I'm not plumbing from the surprisingly big Xbox depths of Final Fantasy, but I've only completed 2 RPGs twice. Like, I've only went back and finished 2 RPGs a second time. First was Earthbound. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Mike Graham, where are you? Oh, no.
I got it. I'll give you the thumbs up for Earthbound. Zoom, zoom.
The only other RPG I've beaten twice is Final Fantasy VII. I beat that right when it came out, you know, played it through myself. Then I recommended it to my older brother, thinking he would play it, but it basically amounted to me playing it again, except this time he was watching. So,
Were you doing stuff like, hold on, this is going to be a cool part, watch this?
Yeah, no, it started like the first 5 hours, he was attentive, and then I just... The last 35 was me just pulling him in when something amazing was happening.
Now, me and my little brother did that a lot, too, of, like, playing RPGs together and watching it like a movie together.
Yeah, and that was the most... I mean, that was the first real cinematic Final Fantasy, so...
Actually, that's another Final Fantasy memory of mine, is that my brother had Final Fantasy VII, and he was near the end, and then he bought a different game for his PlayStation, and it said... It was for Saga Frontier, the horrible Saga Frontier.
Oh.
And then, but when they plugged it in, it said like, oh, you don't have enough room on your memory card. Should you format it? We didn't know what formatting meant. Like, we didn't know computers. And I'm like, yeah, format it. That'll make room for it, right? He loses everything. Oh, it was so horrible.
Painful.
Crushing.
Hey, right. Tyler. You should answer this.
Tyler's ignoring us.
Tyler Nagata,
do you have a Final Fantasy memory that's
Hello.
A favorite? I know you played Final Fantasies.
I think my favorite Final Fantasy moment was also my first introduction to the pleasure of grinding.
Oh.
Explain. Do you remember that area with all the dinosaurs that you could grind for those
like
experience eggs?
And grinding dinosaurs. Oh, yeah.
Leveling up each of your guys so they could learn Ultima.
Man, I did that so much.
I remember
much.
Playing that and thinking, man, if there was some way I could level up my guys and then challenge other players who, you know, and beat them up, my party versus their party with all my superior gear and skills. And then I started playing MUDs.
That's what it leads to. That's the danger of playing those games.
It was a gateway grinding experience.
That's scary. Well, that's cool. No, I forgot. Yeah, I played. I must have killed a million, like at least 2,000 dinosaurs in that game.
Oh yeah,
like,
T-Rex. You were actually the cause of the extinction. you caused all of the dinosaurs to die in real life.
Oh. Thank you.
Oh. Who's next?
All right,
Chris.
You got any other anecdotes, or can we move on?
Does anybody else want to talk about Final Fantasy and get a free book or poster?
Yeah. Don't people want free books or posters?
Is there anybody else here who likes Final Fantasy who wants a free book or a poster?
Apparently
you do.
Oh, we got
so
one more.
So you need more things.
We're sorry, well, the game we got you wasn't good enough.
I actually get something, or?
Well, you have to tell us first.
Yeah.
What? I tell you what. I cannot hear you saying because
we were having people relay their favorite Final Fantasy memories, their anecdotes of the entire series.
I just remember Final Fantasy IV. I played with my brother, and my friend across the street, and we spent forever trying to find the second tail, get another piece of adamantium, get the really awesome armor. We spent about 30 hours in the freaking moon base, you know, trying to kill what are they called, pink puffs. Just. I don't know, it's nostalgic now, but I think it was a pain in the ass at the time.
have you played the remade one at all? Do it again?
Yeah, for the DS, yeah. I didn't do it again, though. I wasn't that. I'm older. I have responsibilities now, you know?
Oh,
that's the saddest thing I've ever
sad.
Heard.
Yeah. Well, okay, so poster or book?
Well, what do you want to double up on since you're getting all this shit anyway? Do you want a book or a poster?
Give me.
I'll try the book out.
He's going to take the book! Oh, my God!
Woo! Woo! All right.
So you want to get into the older... No more Final Fantasy anecdotes? None.
All right, cool.
Cheryl? No? Never played the game. Just dressed like all the characters for fun. What? Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. So we're talking about favorite Final Fantasy memory? Chris, stop looking at that. So when I was in, I think it was 8th grade, when Final Fantasy VI came out on the Super Nintendo, when it was Final Fantasy III, my parents, they had the Nintendo hooked up to the TV downstairs, and my parents were like, we want to watch TV whenever I play. They're like, you need to get off the thing. Regardless of save point, regardless of how long it was playing, they're like, nope, we have a show to watch. Take it off.
So would you have to do a bunch of stuff over?
Yes, all the time.
Aww.
And so finally got to a point where my parents were like, you know, it's taking up too much time from your homework. You can only play on the weekends. So it took me three or four months of weekends just playing Final Fantasy to finish it. And when I did, when that cutscene came at the end, I remember getting a phone call from one of my friends, and they're like, wanted to talk to me about boys or something like that. And I was like, I gotta call you back, because it's the ending cutscene. I gotta watch this. And I hung up and watched the rest.
Cheryl, that's awesome. I can only picture a little version of you with the same sized head, like looking very sad. Sorry. Final Fantasy VI seems to be the victor.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It means we're all old.
Yes, that's what it means.
I have no stake in this war. I have not played Final Fantasy VI.
Really?
I played 4, wow. 10.
That's because 10's the best 11, one.
11, 12, 13. I'm sorry. And the 1. I played 1. Or 2. I honestly don't remember.
You played 1 like everyone else when it came out on like the iPhone or something, and you played it for like an hour.
Headphones
and you're
on.
Like, done.
And we're back. Wasn't that great, everybody?
I'm going to play you a thing. Hold on.
Is that Herman Cain?
It's Bill Cosby.
I know.
By The Simpsons.
I don't like they mixed in the Family Guy Cosby in there.
All right.
They're all the same Cosby.
Did you already
they?
Have the Herman Cain singing?
I'm sure we'll work that in at some point.
Sure.
Because, I mean, the quote.
That may be the opening. That may have been the opening segment.
I'm a Pokemon.
Are we recording?
No, yes. I know some Pokemon Bird. Words.
I thought we did the Pokemon quote before, didn't we?
So, yeah, that was probably great audio quality in the last segment.
Yeah, probably sounded great.
So, again, if in case you couldn't make it out, new question of the week is, what's your favorite Final Fantasy memory? I know you all have some.
Mm-hmm.
So go to gamesradar.com/forums, go to TalkRadar Podcast, and one of us or one of you will have started a thread.
And if
post
you,
it there.
And if you answer the questions, then you'll say, if you answer the questions, then we might read them on the podcast like we're doing now with last week's question of the week.
Mm-hmm. Which was basically, what game are you using the most to get through the post-holiday slump?
Slump. It's been terrible.
It kind of has.
It's been fucking terrible. It's the most notable release month. In the second week of January was Civilization 4 and 5 bundled together.
Wow.
Well, there were a few games that were supposed to come out outside of January 31st, and then they all got delayed out of January. But finally, on the 31st, releases that matter, though we're not saying they're all AAA, but releases that matter finally start again.
But that's next week, so I'm sure we'll have a very
if
beefy
I didn't,
second
I don't remember
segment.
If I sung the praises of Dust Force on the last show, but Dust Force fucking rules.
Remember during November and December when we were having like 2 hour long second segments? Like,
Dust Force on Steam, just beautiful. Think Super Meat Boy with beautiful, relaxing music and not balls hard unless you want it to be.
Nice. Okay, so the question of the week thread was created by the very nice friend Centipede Orgy. And his response was NBA 2K12. Yeah, I'm one of the assholes who plays sports games a lot. And he's been watching the Shield box set he got for
nice.
Christmas.
Good man. Yeah. Good man. Strike team always. Oddly enough, I was on KOXM and NBA 2K12 it boosted the 360's game sales and like really? It's very popular, very good. I mean, I know we won't look twice at it because we're not sports fans.
A resident sportsman.
Yeah, it's crazy. Grisham, like, it's apparently very, 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 very good if you care about the NBA at all.
J. Marcella 09 said, Skyrim when I'm at home, Persona 3 Portable when I'm on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here.
He's on the road. I just imagine he's like a traveling salesman.
With Neil Cassidy.
Yeah.
Stabby Joe says, since I've been traveling a lot back and forth between towns recently, I've been playing the Nintendo Ambassador games on his 3DS.
What are your favorite? What are the most playable Nintendo Ambassador games for you?
Definitely WarioWare.
WarioWare is amazing. WarioWare is great. It's so rewarding. I don't know why they
stopped
doing
Metroid Fusion. I still love.
And also, most people who got the Ambassador Games probably never played Fire Emblem Sacred Stones, and it's a very meaty game to get in.
Had fun with DK versus Mario.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I grew over that. And
was Donkey Kong 94 part of the Ambassador program? Or, okay.
No. You bought that on your own...
I did.
Your own intelligence.
My 3DS is crammed so full of Game Boy games.
Man, is that UI fucking bad?
Oh, God, is that UI terrible? It takes me forever to scroll through that shit.
I know. And you can't, like, reorder it.
Well, that came out... Like, what was the Mud 3DS game? Mud?
I don't remember this.
It's 3DS exclusive downloadable game. It got great reviews. It looks fucking awesome. I'm recommending that. Check the 3DS store for the only game released this month. Mud Mutants or something like that. I don't know. I don't remember.
Let's see here. So Bloody
I work in PC. You guys should know.
Bloody Valentine says he's been playing two XBLA games a lot, and that is Monday Night Combat.
Super Monday Night Combat coming soon. Free to play.
And Beat Hazard, which is an indie game on XBLA. Mm. Right. One-Eyed Goon says she's been playing Spyro the Dragon for PS1.
Wow, disgusting. Really?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Even Diana was cool with that.
Let's see here. Monocled Yao Guy is saying, I've been playing the Zelda games in chronological order.
Nice.
Hey.
And he's currently up to Ocarina.
Wow.
Let's see here. Right. And let me go to the fourth page.
The rest of the games at this point are going to be actually fun.
I finally got to the fun ones. Let's see here.
Why did I just say that? Link to the Past is awesome.
Yeah.
Let's see. The Canadian Tim.
Two sucks.
The Canadian Tim says, on the PC, I've started a new game of Dragon Age Origins, which is crazy. But also the PSP port of Tactics Ogre, which is a pretty cool PSP port.
Mm.
And we've got here... Griff says he has played through El Shaddai, Uncharted 3, and Modern Warfare 3.
Why the fuck didn't he tell us that in person?
And it's now starting up Ballad of Gay Time.
Nice meeting you, Griff. You're a good boy.
Let's see here, and let's do just a couple more here. Side of Beef says Trackmania 2 because wub. People listen to a lot of dubstep on Trackmania 2.
I guess.
And then... I can't say it. Duck Hunt. I'm just going to mispronounce it.
The cunt.
Says Time Splitters 2.
Wow. I'm like sort of... I would go back and play Time Splitters.
Time Splitters
2. 2 is one I always meant to go back and finish, and I never did.
Oh, and our pal Bladdercat says Skyward Sword, 6.5 to 12.5 hours a day.
Yeah, Bladdercat did a fucking phenomenal portrait of me as like Howard Hughes going nuts with a long-ass beard.
Let's see. So, yeah. Those were just some of the great responses. Thank you all so much. We love our forum.
Can we go?
Yeah, I guess. Anybody got anything to plug?
Oh, yes.
What did you want to say,
God,
Henry? You wanted to say something.
Wait, I've got
all this Billy Pilgrim through podcast.
Hold on. This
podcast.
Is important.
No, I don't have anything.
I got that, Chris.
I got it, too.
Okay.
So it goes.
He has sort of that look of like, I'm just alone in my reverence.
All right. What do you want to plug? What do you got coming?
Better be Laser Time.
There's a top 7 coming up soon.
You son of a bitch. You're recording at Laser Time.
We were both involved in.
Well, yeah.
Just say Laser Time Podcast.
I haven't been on Laser Time in a while.
Just say it.
Laser Time.
Why does it hurt you?
No, Laser Time the podcast.
Nope. Say the fucking URL.
LaserTimePodcast.com.
God, why was it so fucking hard?
Or Batman the Podcast.
LaserTimePodcast.com. Jesus Christ. It's on iTunes.
I'm only letting you do this because you're providing us with the studio this week.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Fine. Because I need to podcast that badly so I would not promote my own shit.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
This is one of 9 podcasts I appear on.
That's true. You're a busy man these days. I don't know how you find time for all this shit.
Because it takes half an hour and that's it.
It'll be funny when you're much older. You're like, man, 5 years of my life was like a good chunk of it is chronicled in podcast form.
You know what? I bet that makes me think there's going to be some like digitally apocalyptic era where like iTunes is going to like soak everything up and then explode, and there'll be no more podcasts or record of what.
It is funny that our grandparents' lives were so undocumented. There's so many like blank spots in it, but like we're all supremely documented.
I'm living out loud, Henry. I am absolutely living out loud. Like I want to have this conversation somewhere else, but not here. Somebody sent me a link to a Steam calculator where you can see, like, put in your ID and it'll calculate how much money your your Steam account is worth. And then Tyler Wilde and I were talking about, like, what about our digital estates? What about everything you own on Xbox Live, PSN, Steam? Like, you know, your grandma dies and here's 900 books. And, like, you fucking bitch. Like, now I have to throw these away. But, like... What
900
is,
bucks away?
Yeah, like what? But your Steam account is like technically when you die and leave, like, as a grandparent and leave it to your kid, will be this big pile. Will it be a big pile of useless shit, or is it worth leaving
it will
to somebody?
Be a big pile of outdated games that they don't want to play anymore.
Outdated books is what I'm saying. Like whatever the fuck the Dan Brown was in the 1950s, like that.
Well, no, it'll be all your Kindle apps and downloads.
But that's sort of what we're saying. Like you buy movies and music online, will you be able to pass that down to your relatives? That's a weird concept.
The world exists in 20 years anyway. I mean, come on.
And it'll be so. And I just imagine whatever you bought then will be so
of
cheap.
Passing down video games to grandchildren is a weird idea, just to begin with.
I want to skip the fucking children thing altogether and just have grandchildren. Like, I'm a parent once a week, and I just give that kid fucking everything. Spoil the shit out of him. I'll get you drunk for the first time. Ooh, what? You turn 9? It's time for your first hand job.
Yeah.
Anyway, are we plugging?
Can we just preemptively call Child Protective Services on you now?
I guess. They have a beat on me. Okay.
That's that man out front.
Yeah.
Got it. Good for them.
Anything to plug that isn't Laser Time Podcast?
VGEmpire.com.
It has its own URL now.
It does. It never didn't, but that's okay.
I didn't know.
VGEmpire, my buddy Brett Elston's podcast. And Brett Elston also started last week the bi-weekly Capcom.
Come on. Now we're going too far.
No.
You won't plug Brett's podcast? Fuck you. I hope he's listening to this.
He can come on and plug it himself, which he will do in a couple weeks.
Brett never listens to this. Brett will never listen to this. No,
now he's listening to it, and there's a single tear rolling down one cheek.
But his Capcom Unity podcast is good. I actually saw a funny story on it today.
Him, Greg, and Seth killing him?
Well, I saw a funny story that spun out of it where, like, a news story from I'm not sure certain it was them, so I'm not going to say who wrote it, but a news site said, like, oh, a podcast reveals that Resident Evil Revelations was going to take place on a floating mansion, just like a mansion floating in the water. And then,
Resident Evil Galaxy.
Well, and then Seth Killian just replied to them, like, on Twitter, like, dude, we were joking on the podcast. Listen, listen to the words we say before that. Like, that's not true.
Oh, Seth, now he knows how it feels.
Yep. Well,
all right. But I would also like to plug Laser Time Podcast.
Really? Because you didn't do that.
Oh, did I do that already?
Laser Time? What is it?
It's a podcast about pop culture, video games, and nostalgia. This week is about the worst VGM music.
Who?
If I may.
And it's good.
For a second.
And I believe there's one previous week that's with Diana and me talking about Supergirl.
That is true. the Michael Grimm sent me the American Idol GBA version and the vocals in the game.
Oh my god.
This is baffling.
Can we go out on this? All right, that's our show, everybody.
That's GBA technology.
No, keep playing.
That's all I have. We have to pick a good Final Fantasy song.
Oh, fine. What is a good Final Fantasy song? You want to go out on Eyes on Me?
Yeah, it's good. And Fei Wong's Eyes on Me.
Never say my songs on the stage on my own. Never said my words, wishing they would be heard. I saw you smiling at me. Was it real or just my fantasy? You'd always be there in the corner of this tiny little bar. My last night here for you, same old song. Just once more, my last night here with you. Maybe yes, maybe no. I kind of liked it your way, how you shyly
Jesus.